Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masterson. Today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin and go to Israel to speak with Avraham Berg, the former Speaker of the Knesset. He has an op-ed in Sunday's New York Times, Israel's Fading Democracy, and we will discuss the portent of a war with Iran that a Romney presidency might lead to, given Romney's recent belligerent pronouncements in Israel and his closeness to Israel's hawkish Prime Minister. Then we will speak with Michael Tomasky, a special correspondent for Newsweek and The Daily Beast. He has the cover story in the current issue of Newsweek, Mitt Romney's Wimp Factor, A Mouse in the White House, and we will discuss whether a candidate who dodges reporters, fears his base, and hides his taxes is too insecure to be president. Then finally, we will discuss the possibility that Mitt Romney is hiding his past income taxes that he refuses to make public because he participated in an IRS 2009 tax amnesty that 35,000 wealthy Americans who had hidden their money abroad took advantage of. Edward Kleinbart, a professor of law at the University of Southern California, who served as the chief of staff of the United States Congress's Joint Committee on Taxation, joins us to discuss his recent article at CNN, Why Won't Romney Release More Tax Returns? Joining us now is Avraham Berg, who's the son of Holocaust survivors and has been active in politics as a leader in the Israeli Labor Party and the One Israel Party. He was Speaker of the Knesset from 1999 to 2003 and is the author of The Holocaust is Over, We Must Rise from Its Ashes. He's now the chairman of Malad, the Center for Renewal of Democracy, and has an article, an op-ed in Sunday's New York Times, Israel's Fading Democracy. Welcome to Background Briefing, Avraham Berg.
Thank you for having me.
And you in Israel, of course, Avraham, just witnessed the arrival of recent arrival of the American presidential candidate Mitt Romney, who made very hawkish statements about supporting his friend, old friend Netanyahu, in a possible attack on Iran. It seems fairly blithe on the part of a foreign politician to suggest that Israel should go to war, and Israeli citizens, of course, would be the recipients of a counterattack from Hezbollah, Iran's proxy, raining down thousands and thousands of missiles upon Israelis. I found that quite, I found it extremely troubling, shall we say.
Romney's visit to Israel had three segments, and each and every one of them is a very embarrassing one. The first one is so many people around here and so many people around the world are asking themselves, is that really a serious presidential candidate? Is that the one? This is what he did in Great Britain, what he did in Poland, and came here and insulted the Palestinians and actually became a local warmonger, which is okay for him to stand behind Israel. Does he know what does that mean, that if Israel will strike Iran, will he send American soldiers to redeem us? Will he come to the Middle East to have another front with the Muslim world in order to clear the mess of what is behind him? What kind of a presidential policy he's going to have? That's an embarrassing one. The second embarrassing element is the kind of brutal, crude involvement of the Israeli prime minister in the presidential elections in the United States of America, almost taking an official line with one of the candidates, and by this actually creating a new strategy that Israel, that was for so many years be over and above political division in America, is becoming a partisan issue. And this is an awful development. And the last element is the open public debate in Israel. Should we or should we not attack Iran? I think it's a lunacy. It will not solve the Iranian nuclear race, and it will not solve the problem of Israel in the Middle East. On the contrary, when you put all the three of them together, you ask yourself, do we really want both the region and the West to elect this kind of leaders to lead us in the coming very difficult future?
Well, Avraham Berg, it would seem at this moment, given what's happening in Syria, with the likelihood of the Assad's falling, and that would be a strategic setback for Iran and for Hezbollah. Isn't this a time for Israel to basically to take a very quiet position and let the chips fall? I can't believe that anybody at this moment would be talking about having a war with Iran when all that would do would reverse the current situation, which seems to be going in Israel's favor?
You know, in politics, and especially in geopolitics, you never know what's in your favor, and you should not, neither as an individual nor as a state, try to impose your utopias over political actualities. If this is the Middle East, let it work. Let's see what develops. We all saw what happened when the United States of America, of George W. Bush, tried to impose top-down hollow democracy over Iraq and see what happened to the region. It is not the most stable one, to say the least. And I can go with many, many examples like that. And my policy is Israel has to do its best, A, to defend itself from whatever is coming ahead of us from the other side of the border, be ready both for war and both for peace, because maybe something else will take over the regions and the regimes in the area. And the second is, it shouldn't be Israel who jumps to the head of the line and do the dirty work for the other local regimes who really do not like nuclear Iran. Saudi Arabia is not happy about it. Egypt is not happy about it. Syria may be happy about it, but it's not our concern. Let them deal with Iran and let us not do the dirty job for them. It is not our role again to reorganize the world. These days are over.
So, Avram Berg, again, the author of The Holocaust is Over, We Must Rise from Its Ashes, a former speaker of the Israeli Knesset, and he also has an article in Sunday's New York Times, Israel's Fading Democracy. You mentioned earlier the role of Netanyahu in the American presidential race. It's pretty clear that he has a long and close friendship with Romney. It's pretty clear that he wants Romney to be the next president of the United States. And by that, the role of Sheldon Adelson also raises some serious questions about the extent to which Netanyahu is already involved in some strategic advice. As you know, Avram, Sheldon Adelson backed the candidacy of Newt Gingrich, and that had the effect of splitting the anti-Romney vote and thus allowing Romney to get the nomination. And now Adelson has said he'll spend up to $100 million to elect Romney. And he, of course, hosted Romney in Jerusalem at the King David Hotel for breakfast just a week ago. And it would seem to me, given his fealty towards Netanyahu with a Vanity Press newspaper to support him, etc., I think there's some serious evidence now that Netanyahu and his wealthy conservative American friends will do anything they can to get Romney elected.
No comment will be enough of an affirmation for your question, or should we go into details? Let's separate into two parts, okay? The first is the Israeli prime minister, which is my concern, and the second is Sheldon Adelson, which is, in a way, as embarrassing as it is, it's an American affair. I hope that the Americans will learn one day to put a limit to how much money can buy politics, and unfortunately, Sheldon Adelson's money looks like, I mean, I don't know the details, I just read reports that they are being reported publicly, looks like that he buys his political priorities, and this is, for me, a very undemocratic way to impact and to influence political outcomes of elections and democratic processes. And I hope that the Americans will find a way to limit the involvement of people of wealth to bring down presidencies or to bring down coalitions to their knees. It's wrong, and it's wrongdoing. And I don't think it's good whether the billionaire is a Democrat or Republican. Money is not a voter. The second is about the Israeli prime minister. I'm a one who really appreciates friendships. I mean, if he's a friend of Romney, that's okay. Let him give him breakfast and let him sleep at night, and he goes on hitchhiking with his family or whatever it is. But the state is not the private playground of a prime minister. A state like a state of Israel is having many interests. And the major one is that Israel will remain above the partisan politics of America. If Israel will be one side of the house only interest, the Republican one, eventually it has a counterproductive effect on the strategic needs of the state of Israel. And therefore, I believe that here, as much as the Prime Minister of Israel admires, loves, shares the same values with Mitt Romney, he should not express it in public the way he did it here in Jerusalem. In private, I will say, I think that President Obama is a president that potentially has the power to continue the peace legacy of President Carter, that as much as so many Jews around the world, and especially around the right-wing coalitions in Israel, do not like him, he is the one who gave Israel the peace with Egypt that lasted strategically so many years and helped us to secure our southern border. And like President Clinton, who did his utmost to bring more conciliation and more understanding between Israelis and Palestinians. The role of an American president is not to be a permissive parent who lets the whimsy kid Israel to do whatever it's like because it asks for it. The role of an American president is a very parental one, to say no every now and then or show the right direction whenever possible. The right direction is peace. The wrong direction is war. It sounds like Romney goes the wrong direction.
Well, rather than give speeches instead of questions, why don't you just outline some of what you, in your article, Avram Berg, in terms of what concerns you about the direction that Israel is taking? We've, of course, had these shocking reports of young Israelis burning themselves in protest, the Occupy movement camping out. There's a sense that the disparity in wealth in Israel is as obscene as it is here in the United States. Give us your summary of what you feel is the wrong direction in terms of where the nation is heading.
First, about an historic change. Israel was established in 40 as a kind of almost a utopian Garden of Eden, which was a combination of social solidarity and secular progressive direction. Israel was a social democrat secular state at the best of the European democratic legacies. With the years, Israel has become an aggressive capitalist and religious fundamentalist society. Israel of 2012 is not Israel of 1948. This is an historic change, existential change, that took over and actually characterizes our current contemporary affairs. Within the current Israel, there is today kind of an unholy coalition of three fundamentalist establishments: the Orthodox rabbinate, the settlers establishment, and the capitalist dogma. Take the three of them: the nationalistic settlers, the Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox rabbinical existence, and the capitalist maliciousness, and you understand the level and the depth of the social protest in Israel against them all, about the social injustice, about the wrong set of priorities of the state investing beyond our borders on behalf of a small group rather than on behalf of the majority, the needs of the majority, and the permanent ongoing surrender to the ultra-Orthodox establishment in Israel. And this is the nature and the gist of the social justice call coming out of every street and every corner of public life in Israel.
So do you think that there can be a political turnaround? I mean, Bill Clinton recently got into a lot of trouble because he said that Israel's drift to the right has a lot to do with the influx of Russian emigres. Is there a possible of a left-wing revival in Israel?
Here is the situation, and the bottom line answer will be the jury is still out. The political representation of the center-left in Israel does not reflect the positions of the people. The society is still equally split over the Palestinian question, economic questions, church and state questions, equally split two main blocks. Unfortunately, the left parties and the central left representative system simply crashed, and there is a ongoing vote of non-confidence saying you do not really stand for your own values and therefore we do not vote for you. If the parties of the center and left will know how to restore their integrity and to stand for the real values of half of the society, so we are still neck to neck. In a neck to neck situation, everything is possible. And as I said, the jury is out.
So just in closing then, Avram Berg, what is your sense of, I don't know whether you share my alarm at the possibility of Mitt Romney being president, because he has not, for example, he's been running for president for 10 years and he's not bothered to learn about foreign policy. It's as though he will be a kind of corporate CEO who will outsource his foreign policy to the neoconservatives who brought us the Iraq War. That's the entire coterie of his foreign policy advisors. So I'm quite concerned that we'll have an even more aggressive Middle East foreign policy under President Romney than we had under President George W. Bush.
I could not agree with you more, though I have a feeling that we have to pay a little attention to it. You know, politicians eventually are supposed to be human beings. I mean, we do not always deliver, but we are supposed to be so. George W. Bush, with all of his shortcomings, was a very warm human being. The feeling that so many Israelis got when Mitt Romney came here, that he is many things, warmth, is not one of his strong elements. And an American president which looks at the situation in the Middle East with no affection, with no human warmth, with no empathy, might be a very dangerous one, not just for Israel, but for the entire region, because the region needs a parent, and a parent who does not have a good, warm, open heart to all sides in the region might be a very, very, very dangerous one. The Middle East calls for balance. The Middle East needs an even hand or even-handed a president, does not need a one-sided right-wing fundamentalist.
Well, Avram Berg, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Again, I've been speaking with Avram Berg, who's the son of Holocaust survivors and has been active in politics as a leader in the Israeli Labour Party and the One Israel Party. He was Speaker of the Knesset from 1999 to 2003 and is the author of The Holocaust is Over, We Must Rise from Its Ashes. He's now the chairman of Malad, the Center for Renewal of Democracy, and has an op-ed in Sunday's New York Times, Israel's Fading Democracy. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking with Michael Tomasky, the author of the cover article in the current issue of Newsweek, Mitt Romney's Wimp Factor.
How low were you willing to go before you reach all yourself?